It's twilight, and I don't know what to expect as I arrive by car to Pattaya, Thailand. This beach town's famed nightlife is already in full swing. Pattaya, a wild west of bars, massage parlors, brothels, and strip clubs. I watch as inebriated men wander up and down the red light district with neon sketch bars to the left and right. And I'm looking at dozens upon dozens of women enticing men to come inside.
Anyone who goes to Pattaya, they see 27,000 sex workers in a corridor of about 3 miles. You're talking about a large number of people.
It's in these 3 miles that Matt Friedman sees the complexities of human trafficking. Friedman's in charge of the United Nations Interagency Project on Human Trafficking. On one hand, life seems carefree. I'm sitting inside the Chocolate Butterfly Bar next to three Thai bar girls, the regional name for prostitutes. While waiting for customers, they sing along to a popular American hip-hop tune. On the other hand, Pattaya is organized crime. Matt Friedman of the UN.
The mafia is very much involved, the Russian mafia. They franchise to the Uzbeki mafia. So you have basically crime syndicates that are beginning to find a home in Pattaya. And eventually, I think the government of Thailand is going to have to address that because it's something that's been there for a while and it doesn't seem like it's going away.
Adding to the complexity, says Friedman, is not every prostitute in Pattaya is working against her will. While some experts argue that any prostitute is a victim of slavery, Friedman says in Thailand it's not that simple.
In Southeast Asia and Thailand, there's more of an acceptance of it as long as the money is going back to the family. If the girl were basically to go into the brothel industry and have the money for herself, then that goes against her karma. That would be bad, negative merit. But if the money is going to support the family, it would be perceived as okay.
Now, in Pattaya, the bar fine was 300 baht, which is $7.50.
By American standards, that's not a lot of money. And that, for many sex tourists, is a good thing.
In Phuket, it's 600, which is $15.
This man, whom we cannot identify, is a New York limo driver who lived in Thailand and visited Pattaya.
Then to have a girl in Pattaya for the night, where she spends the whole night with you, and that's it. She's yours. It's, you know, you're buying a girl for the night. I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean, that's what's so nice, and she has to do whatever you ask her to do.
These women are poor, and their exploitation results from poverty, which I see all around me. One young woman tells me she became a prostitute because she couldn't find a job in her village near the border with Laos and followed her sister to Pattaya. But her dream is to go to America.
Part of the reason why you may see more Thais ending up in North America is that's kind of an incubation place, if you will.
By incubation place, he means Pattaya.
Potential opportunistic pimps will go in there and say, oh, I have this great opportunity. We can bring you to the United States and you can make 4 or 5 times more than what you're making here, and you can live a very good life, and you'll basically be able to have a lot of money and freedom and so forth. So they work out some kind of arrangement to get them over to the United States, and once they're there, they're put into this situation where it's like a circuit, where they'll be in one particular location for a while, and then they'll spend 2 weeks in another location.
Up and down the East Coast, says Friedman. And he says some American men on vacation in Thailand go to Pattaya for other, more sinister reasons. About 45 minutes outside of Pattaya, past shanties and roadside stalls selling mangoes, I arrive at the Anti-Trafficking and Child Abuse Center. A 12-year-old boy sitting under a tree says American men have come to this town and asked for him by name.
By
They will ask me to go with them to do sex. And I do it for some people. Mostly elder men. Sometimes there's some middleman to arrange everything, and sometimes I just go by myself.
Sexually abusing a child violates Thailand's anti-human trafficking laws. But some Americans have come here thinking they can get away with it. One of the most notorious was well known to American officials in the Archdiocese of Boston and Los Angeles. But Thai airport officials were not familiar with Father Paul Shanley. The 71-year-old priest implicated in the Catholic Church abuse scandal traveled to Thailand in March 2002 and spent as much as a month in Pattaya, according to immigration documents obtained by the Boston Herald.
What we do is that we're working with the U.S. Embassy in Thailand.
Palasor Noja runs Pattaya's Anti-Trafficking and Child Abuse Center.
We are working together when there's a case concerning Americans. If they have, cannot be prosecuted in Thailand due to whatever reason, those people will be prosecuted back in the state for the crime they did in Thailand.
Palasor Noja is monitoring a police scanner for news about a possible raid on the home of a foreign sex abuser in the area. But it is often his organization that tips off the police based on information from the children here. Noja shares what he learns with a worldwide team of police based in Thailand, including a French detective who is tracking the movements of American and European tourists suspected of trafficking children.
More and more every year, national come abroad to have sex with children. So we need a very strong cooperation, very efficient, very quick cooperation. That's why we have a very good relationship with such federal agencies in the United States.
And the first line of defense is the U.S. State Department.
Allowing the human traffickers to operate with impunity undercuts rule of law.
Louis C. DeBaca is U.S. Ambassador in the Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons.
We have our own human trafficking investigative team in the Office of Diplomatic Security. We also have our frontline folks who are the consular affairs officers in all of our embassies who are the ones who review the initial visa applications. They're in a perfect position to either stop somebody from being brought into the United States for exploitation or to connect the dots.
And the dots, almost always, says Matt Friedman of the United Nations, can be connected by migration.
You tend to see trafficking of individuals from less developed countries to more developed countries. So you will see an influx from Myanmar, Laos, and Cambodia into Thailand. Into China, you'll see women, boys, girls, men from Myanmar and Vietnam going to China. If you have a situation where a woman is basically taken over to another country and she doesn't like it and she can't leave that situation, obviously it would be a trafficking type situation.
And it's a situation that's occurring with increasing frequency along the Vietnam-China border. I head there next. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.